welcome to the Outer Hebrides, Scotland.
The Outer Hebrides are a chain of islands off the west coast of Scotland.
Fairly sparsely populated, it's got some spectacular scenery. You'd be on a beach and the sea can look absolutely beautiful Caribbean blue.
We are a very close-knit community. Everybody knows everybody.
We're not without challenges. Our population has halved in the last 60 years.
We don't have enough people to work all the jobs that are going here. It's a really alarming scenario that we've got.
Depopulation is something that we can change if we're just a wee bit more assertive and rebuild our communities rather than just lament their loss.
Feel blessed, and every time we go out in the boat, you know, you get this excitement, like, what are we gonna see this time? It's constantly wild, it's always keeping you on your toes, but it doesn't matter what the weather is doing, the colours are always spectacular.
Stornoway Coast Guard, Loughlin. We'll be in the Loch Rogue area for the next 2 to 3 hours.
My dad is very involved with the sea as well. He runs a boat tour company here where they go out and look for wildlife and take tourists out around the islands. We have loads of animals here. We've got otters, seals, whales, dolphins, eagles, everything. And there is no place quite like the Outer Hebrides. I have been wild swimming my entire life. If it was up to me, I think I'd be in the sea 24/7. This is probably the warmest time of year, sea temperature wise. Right now it's about 14 degrees, which is roasting. But in winter, drops to sort of 5 or 6 degrees. People, even in the whole of the Outer Hebrides, know me as the Hebridean mermaid, or our mermaid. I started swimming with a monofin with my feet stuck together, and then I got a tail, although I thought it was so weird and I'd put it off for years. But I thought, life's too short, why not just do it? The look on fishermen's faces when they see me swimming around, it's disbelief. I think at first they'd probably think I'm a seal. And then the pandemic hit, and I posted a video online, and the reactions were actually quite positive. It just seemed like a sort of breath of fresh air for the world. I think I've definitely become an unintentional influencer here. I hope to be someone who represents our way of living and the sort of paradise that I see in it.
Come by. Bolt, stay. See, they haven't been working today. They're full of beans. Come by.
It's not an easy place to live. You've got to work hard to live here, and you only get out of it what you put into it. when you're outside in the winter and it's raining and there's mud all over the place and your boots come off in the mud and you're up to your knees in it, and it's just like, why am I doing this? Why am I here? Perfect day is when nothing goes wrong, because something always goes wrong. I spent my whole life being a crofter, so it's second nature to me. A croft is a piece of land. The way that crofting is different to farming is, first of all, I do not own the land. I am a tenant. But as long as I use that land properly, agriculturally, that land cannot be taken off me. Crofting is a uniquely Scottish thing. Our family have been on that croft for, you know, a couple of hundred years. Crofting is a way of life. It is a job. It is a pain in my backside. It is something I love. It is my passion. We don't have loads and loads of sheep, each of us. You know, you'll have a few people will have, you know, maybe 20, 30, 40 sheep. So you get together and you do a lot of work together. If we're shearing the sheep, quite often it's done together. The crofts here where I live, they're around about 7 acres. I've got 3 of them. I use the common grazing as well. So the common grazing is the shared grazing that everybody can access, and that's tens of thousands of acres. The cows are able to roam over a large area. I've got to be careful about this one because she can be a little bit violent at times. She hit me 3 times with her horns, not the point of the horn, but like the front of it. It's like being hit by a baseball bat. And I ended up in hospital 6 months ago. These are Highland cows. They're a native Scottish breed. I think they're gorgeous. They're brilliant. They look great. Oh! I live in Ness, which is a district right up at the northwest tip of the Outer Hebrides. What really bugs me is when people come here and say, oh, you're remote, you're isolated, you're cut off. I instantly turn it on its head and say, what am I remote from? This is the centre of the universe, the centre of my universe. I feel at home here. I know everybody, everybody knows me. You drop me in the city and I'm anonymous. It's easy to be surrounded by people and be all alone. You're never alone here, even if there are fewer people around. We love our tractors. I remember the first time I went to the city and I was like, where do people keep their tractors? Because the world that I knew was everybody had their own tractor. So tractors are a big part of life here. It's difficult to describe because it's just a tractor run. It's fun. All the tractors gather, you know, at the start point, and then they drive around the whole district, going through every village. The tractor run goes round, you collect the money, and we all know beforehand it's going to this family or that individual who everybody knows is having a tough time. So it's an Out of Hebrides crowdfunder, basically. It's important to have hub centres in your community that allow that community to thrive. I'm speaking to you right now from the Ness Football Club Social Club. This is a community-owned and run facility, and it's one of numerous buildings like that within this community.
How are you getting on, Alice?
That's beautiful. It's a wee bit harder to get the pins into the wall.
Across the Outer Hebrides, there are a large number of these historical societies, and they are recording the heritage and culture of these islands. It's an enormous joy to work in a place like this, and every day you're surprised by the things that people bring in.
Quite often we get people donating photographs they find in their house, and often they don't know who the people are. So we have a group, the archive group, who come in every week looking at photographs, identifying the people in them, for the records.
You can see the history in the landscape here. It's everywhere you look. We have places like the Callanish Stones. We have old churches, monuments, lots of historic buildings. These sites show that there have been people on the Outer Hebrides for tens of thousands of years. Hebridean society is traditional, it's spiritual.
So in the last census, this area had the highest number of Gaelic speakers in Scotland. It's vitally important that we retain this information about our language, our heritage and our culture for future generations. So Mary Duff is a local musician and teaches the children melodeon. It's so important to keep those tunes and those instruments, keep them alive.
Right, John, you start, Lily in second. One, two, three, four. Go for it, CJ.
Go for it.
With one melodeon, a whole village would come and just enjoy an evening of music and dance. I feel it's very important to be a bridge from one generation to the next, so that we don't lose the unique and vital heritage that we have. My mother was born here, and all her generations of her family are from here. I was born on the mainland. I just really loved being here, and I always liked helping out around the croft and helping with the sheep. What I've learned from living out here is that you just have to take time and enjoy what's around you, help other people, and enjoy being part of a community.
How's your holiday, Donald?
Oh, it was fine, really, fine.
When I first joined the band, it was all older, 60-plus aged men that were in the band.
This is where we meet every Thursday night and have done for the past 20-odd years. We sit, play some tunes and speak some yarns, some of them very long.
I was quite shy when I moved here. Without the band, I wouldn't have grown into the person I am now. It was actually my uncle. He used to tell me to come along to the Melodgian band, and I was really grateful that I did. I used to enjoy sitting in the background and just listen and enjoy the stories. I really do miss those days. I didn't appreciate them at the time. When we lost my uncle, he was the first member that we actually lost, and it was very hard to come back into the band. Over the years, the numbers have declined with losing members who have passed away. I do fear that the music will be lost. One of the things that keeps me coming back is to preserve it.
Drive around the island, you'll see a lot of empty houses. Many of those houses have been empty for 20, 30 years, possibly even more. Around about 2010, I started getting sort of quite seriously interested in photography, and I think probably the old houses appeal to me because sometimes when I go in them, it's quite atmospheric, really. You almost feel yourself imagining a little bit about the person's life just by what you can see around it. The first time my photographs were exhibited, it did help to raise the issue, put it more in the public eye. What's allowing some of this depopulation thing to happen is that so much of the land is owned by absentee landlords, you know, very wealthy individuals that own large slices of Scotland. And they don't have that involvement with the actual place. They're completely out of touch with people trying to make a living here.
Sea's always been part of my family. If you go back through my family tree, her people have been here for hundreds of years. My own family were cleared from their original lands to make way for sheep farms or shooting estates. They were just told, your time's up, you've got to move on. People were forcibly either evicted and sent away to Australia, to Canada, to America, or to the less hospitable parts of our islands, such as the rocky east coast of the islands. It's almost a lunar landscape. It's just like a massive quarry in places. Suddenly made life very difficult. And I would say even in today, hundreds of years later, there's a real frustration as to how we have been moulded in some ways to be the community that we are today when there's been things taken away from us. There's been a real resentment or a real lack of trust with land ownership. My industry, fishing, is significantly impacted by depopulation. There are boats going to sea with just one or two people when traditionally they might have gone to sea with four or five people. So you've got a very small crew trying to do the work of many. There are crews on trawlers working from these islands, from Ghana and also from Eastern Europe, to make up the shortage in labour. There's businesses that are struggling all through the islands due to a lack of workers. If you don't have people of a working age, your whole economy stagnates.
I think the majority of people I went to school with have left. As a local trying to meet someone here, I'm related to most of the island, so it's not ideal, really. We are desperate to get more young people here, young families, and to keep the life in the Outer Hebrides going. The government started this scheme where they were offering £50,000 to young people from the mainland to move to the Outer Hebrides. And as far as I know, it didn't really work. They will struggle just as much as a local will. What we need is to help people stay. And money isn't the only answer.
You're being paid to be here. That's inherently unfair. I'm glad it's been dropped. I'm an elected official in the local government. I was wanting to provide a voice for the rural areas, because the rural areas are losing our young folk all the time to urban areas. You know, when I think about the football team, the boys in the football team, there's 30 guys there. There's quite a few of them who don't have partners. If you go out on a Saturday night, there's no girls. that was a joke. I think part of the problem is that we have been exporting people for generations. There's no easy answer to it. It's about jobs, it's about houses. The distillery is brilliant because it's provided so many jobs and it attracts so many people and it's gained, you know, worldwide attention.
What drove me personally to get involved was because I grew up here. The Outer Hebrides means everything to me. My family have lived here for generations. Scotland is obviously world famous for producing whisky, but because there was no history of distilling here, there were no people qualified to do those jobs. So the company invested heavily in employing people locally who wanted to have a change of career. They came from lots of different backgrounds and they sent them off to learn how to become distillers. There was no way we were going to fail at this, you know. We're all local, we had to make it work, and that did give everybody a real energy to make it succeed.
We were a very small team of 10 people working at the distillery. That team over the years has grown to now 42.
42 jobs is a lot in a small community of less than 2,000 people, and we do have a young workforce. We've also helped be a catalyst, I think, for some other companies to set up, and they're also employing lots of people with great opportunities. There's obviously limitations on an island, you know. There are limited ways to get here on the ferries. Accommodation is limited. There's a need for better infrastructure. The real challenge is that the young people that have come to work with us here, they can't stay here because of lack of housing.
My partner and I rent a house on the edge of the ocean, and it is in the middle of nowhere, but we are absolutely in love with it, and we are so lucky to have found it. We really, really struggled because everywhere is either a second home, or it's just empty, or it's rented out during the summer months. Tourism brings in a lot of money to our economy, and it definitely is a huge benefit in some ways, but socially it is very damaging to local communities here, and especially during the winter months, because it's such a seasonal industry that in winter villages are going dark because there's no one here. I think the worst outcome would be that we end up with no young people here. There is a possibility that a community could completely crumble.
I live in the Bays of Harris. It's a district. The population is a little over 700 people. The current landlord, it's an English person that inherited it from somebody who bought it nearly 100 years ago. The community are suffering because the income that's generated and going to the landlord is not being used here for anything. Since 2012, I've been part of a steering group who have been given the job of looking at into the viability of a community buyout. It's the landlord that basically suggested this. You have a vote, gauge the interest of the community. If they send a strong signal that they want to go in favour of a buyout, then he will enter into negotiations with us over a sale. The community buyouts have been quite a thing in Scotland in particular. We are seeing bordering districts that have gone into community ownership. They are managing to do developments and make improvements, and we're seeing growth, we're seeing the population increase in both of our neighbours. And the Bays of Harris, under that absentee landlord, we kind of feel a little bit isolated and we're being left out.
I think we know best how to look after our own land. When it comes to a buyout, there's no guarantee that everybody's going to vote yes. People are quite often scared of change. You've got to be quite brave to take risks, and not everybody is prepared to take these risks.
The vote has taken place, and I'm quite apprehensive. I genuinely don't know which way people are going to have voted.
The turnout was 70.12%. The question the electors were asked, are you in favour of community ownership of the Bays of Harris Estate? Yes, 290, no, 170.
Yes.
There, that was quite nerve-wracking. I think the vote in favour is 63%. It's a good night, yeah. Still got a way to go. We've got to get that whole deal settled with the landlord. There probably will be arguments over what projects are pursued and what actually gets money put into it. But I still feel that that's far more beneficial to have those arguments over that money, because at least it's here and something will happen with it.
A lot of people lament the loss of population in the islands and look back rather than looking ahead. And a lot of that lament is based in frustration over the injustices that were done previously. I personally feel that we need to be looking ahead and be seizing every opportunity that we can to build a sustainable future for our community, for our children.
What I like about the Outer Hebrides is the people. We have a very, very strong identity. It gives us a real connection to where we live, because the people here have had to work hard for our community.
What the Outer Hebrides means to me is happiness, home, feeling at one with where you are and the community that you're in. The Outer Hebrides can teach the world to appreciate what's around them. Some places are worth struggling to live in, and that it's worth the hardship. It's not all about being modern and up to date and social. Sometimes it's just about what's around you.